Good morning, everybody. You'll be pleased to know it's official. We are now past the halfway mark through winter. So we're on our way to spring. Although I have to admit it doesn't feel like it yet. Welcome to our service this morning. And to those of you watching online, we read these words in Paul's letter to the Philippians. Therefore, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you and thank you for this day, for the freedom we have to meet and to worship together. We pray, Lord, that you would lead us through our worship this morning. Speak to us, guide us, help us, renew us, refresh us across this next hour. And we give you all praise, all thanks, and all glory. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
What a beautiful name.
Last week, during the intercessions, Marge used the prayer of St. Francis, make me a channel of your peace. And today, we're going to say together another piece of writing from the pen of St. Francis called The Praises of God, which are on the screen there. So if you're happy to follow through with me, please join me in Francis's expression of the praises of God together. You are the holy Lord God who does wonderful things. You are strong. You are great. You are the Most High. You are the Almighty King. You, Holy Father, King of heaven and earth. You are three in one, the Lord God of gods. You are the good, all good, the highest good, Lord God, living and true. You are love, charity. You are wisdom. You are humility. You are patience. You are beauty. You are meekness. You are security. You are rest. You are gladness and joy. You are our hope. You are justice, you are moderation, you are all our riches to sufficiency. You are beauty, you are meekness, you are the protector, you are our custodian and defender. You are strength, you are refreshment, you are hope, you are our faith, you are our charity. You are all our sweetness. You are our eternal life. Great and wonderful Lord, Almighty God, merciful Saviour. What a wonderful declaration of who God is.
Good morning, everyone. Just a reminder that our treasury report can be found in the grapevine. Overall for the year, we are still a little down, but for the month of May, we exceeded the amount that we needed. So thank you to everyone who contributed and continues to contribute. There is a Home Aloner lunch meeting on the 4th of July, which is next Tuesday, at Flagstaff Hotel. This commences at 12:15, and if you wish to attend, please contact Bob Stone by the 2nd of July, which is next Sunday. Thank you to everyone who continues to contribute to the food parcel ministry. This week, we are in need of tinned goods, pasta, sugar, soups and toiletries, as well as others, but all donations are appreciated. In the school holidays, we have a children's Bible event on the 13th of July. This will be held here in the church in the morning, and all young children and grandchildren are invited to attend. Further information will come out in the next week, so please save the date. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, before Kristen comes up, Leon has got something he wants to say to us, and then I've got something I'm going to say, and then you can have a turn.
Good morning, everybody. In the foyer, we have been blessed with a donation from the Brighton Lions Club. That donation paid for the defibrillator, which has been installed beside the fire hose reel. As we get a bit older, and maybe not so old, our hearts are always, well, not as well as they used to be. And so therefore, if anyone has a problem, there's people who trained to use that defibrillator. So we're blessed to have it. And besides that, next Friday, we will be having all the chaplains from the schools in this area here in this church for their term meeting. And so that'll be at 1:30 on Friday. So thank you all. And thank you to the Lions Club of Brighton.
Yeah.
How about a word?
Let's hope we don't have to use it. As you, most of you will know, Marge and I visited David Pryor on behalf of the congregation and the leadership team a couple of weeks ago. I had the privilege of seeing him again on Friday. And in short, he's on a long journey. He needs lots of prayer. So too for Ellie, Isaac, Izzy and Micah. And so at present he can't speak and he's immobilised. And that's about as much as I can tell you, because that's about as much as I know. So please continue to pray for him and his family. And the plan is that the members of the leadership team we'll continue to visit him, but we are taking our instructions to do that from the family to ensure that, you know, visiting him is okay. Kristen and I hope to drop in and see him again this coming week at some stage, all being well. So thank you for your prayers. Kristen, thanks.
Thanks, David. Thanks, Bill. I invite any children who are here this morning to come down front. Thank you. Would you like to join us? Hello. I brought some things from my kitchen to help us this morning. They're a little bit small, so for anybody online, I'll give you a little bit of a close-up if I can. But first one, if you hold out your hands, I've got one in your hands. We'll try not to make a mess. I should have a guess. What might that be? You've got a guess already?
Yeah,
you know your kitchen spices. There you go. There's one thing. I think they're pretty tiny, hey? Anybody online? Want to have a look? I don't know if you can see that or not, but I wasn't quite organised enough to have photos. So what is it? What is a mustard seed? What do we use it for?
Cooking?
Yeah. Making mustard. Yeah, it could be making mustard. When a mustard seed grows, though, when we plant it, it can actually become a tree, it says in the Bible. And I did some research, so I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's 2.7 metres tall, which is a pretty tall tree. It's about 2,700 times the size of the mustard seed. So that tiny seed can grow into a tree. Oh, let's have a look at this one. You might even be able to smell this one, I'm not sure. A little smell. Do you have any idea what that is? Anyone know? This one's got a little bit of a smaller grain, even tinier than the mustard seed. The smell, no, sorry, you can't smell it at home. Any thoughts? It's another thing from the kitchen. And I reckon there'd be a lot of bakers out there who'd know what this is. Any other?
Yeast?
It is, it's yeast. Yeah, well done. So yeast, what do we use yeast for? For cooking as well, yeah. It makes the bread dough rise up and get bigger. It gets really big when you put if your yeast is alive and active enough. That one's pretty old. I don't bake very much at home. But if you've got yeast in the dough, it will swell up and make it bigger. And Jesus taught us in the Bible about mustard seeds and yeast. But I don't know that he was teaching us how to cook bread. It was more about taking tiny little things, and from those little things, big things can happen. From a tiny little mustard seed, a big tree can grow. And from a tiny amount of yeast, you only need a little tiny bit in a whole loaf of bread, but it will make it bigger. What do you think we can learn from that? Any ideas? What do you think Jesus might be teaching us about that? Tiny things can become big things. I think Jesus is teaching us that no matter what we give him, even if it's a little thing, a little bit of money or a little bit of a good thing that we can do, like picking up one piece of rubbish from the ground or putting it in the bin or saying one prayer for a friend every day, those little things, God can grow them into really big differences in the world. You might only be little people, young children, but you can do amazing things because God can grow everything that you do, little things, into big things. Yeah? Close your eyes and I'll say a prayer for you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you can take humble little things like a mustard seed and yeast and us and the things that we do and turn them into wonderful differences in the world, big things. We pray for these children. We pray that you bless them and their families, and you'll help us to keep doing those little things that you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, you probably lost those little mustard seeds, but if you want to keep them, you can.
Thank you, Kristen. God grows things. It starts with little mustard seeds or pieces of yeast. We're going to bring our offerings to the Lord now and sing a great old hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. And I think the offering time is not just a time to give of our finances and our resources as for the food parcel ministry, but to give of ourselves as well and say, yep, Lord, here I am. I'm ready to serve you. So let's stand and sing.
To go at war.
God, we praise you and thank you that you are a giving God and you give to us in abundance. And Lord, we bring to you this morning these items of food, our resources from our funds, and more importantly, Lord, we bring ourselves and pray, Lord, that you would continue to open our eyes to the world around us, to serve you, to love you, to serve our neighbours and love our neighbours, and to serve our enemies and love them also. So for all these things, Lord, we commit to you. Abba Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Amen. Holy Spirit, Amen. Thank you. Please take your seats.
This is the time for bringing our prayers of intercession for the world, for others, for this church, and for our country. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the peace in this country, Australia. We pray for our leaders in Parliament, in state government, and local government. Give them stability and wisdom. Let us pray for the families of those who perished in the submarine whilst it was looking at the wreck of the Titanic that imploded. Lord, grant them peace. Let us pray for countries at war, especially the Ukraine, the Middle East, African countries. Father, we pray for peace. Let us pray for the leaders of the Uniting Church, your leaders at the Vines, and especially David Pryor and his family. God, grant him healing and relief. We also pray for his family. Let us pray for those who are travelling. We pray for safety and travel mercies. Father, we thank you for rain, especially to the farmers who have sown their crops. And we also think of others who have been inundated by floods. We pray for relief for them. Let us pray for those who are sick, bereaved, unemployed, suffering from domestic violence, depression. Father, give them healing and peace. Let us pray for the school chaplains who will be meeting at the Vines this week. Let us also pray for Ian and Karen Kitto. Let us just pray now in silence for those who are on our hearts and maybe those we have overlooked. Now let us join together and pray as Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
This morning's reading is from Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 to 33, the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Through it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough. Second reading is from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks.
Sort of taking Kristen's cue about mustard seeds this morning. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move, and it will move. Well, I've got a confession to make. I've not yet moved a mountain. But our faith is in some ways it's something small, but it is intended to grow and develop as we live out our lives. And if you're like me, you'll never do that perfectly. We don't, but the grace of God is with us, and Paul wrote, the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That can also be worded, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So Jesus present in us is the faith by which we live. Because I don't know about you, faith lived by ourselves, and we don't live by ourselves. And it can be a challenge and a struggle. Just stay seated while we sing together this next song.
was thinking of another song that we could have sung after Kristen had spoken about the mustard seed and the yeast. And that's From Little Things, Big Things Grow. But we won't worry about that just now. There was a Sunday school teacher who decided to have her young class memorise one of the most quoted passages in the Bible, which is Psalm 23. And she gave the youngsters 4 weeks to learn the chapter. And little Rick, he was really excited about that task, but he just couldn't remember the psalm. And after much practice, he could barely get past the first line. And on the day that the kids were each to recite Psalm 23 in front of the congregation, Rick was really, really, really nervous. And when it was his turn, he stepped up to the microphone and said proudly, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all we need to know." He's on the right track, isn't he? My name's Ian, and I'm here again. But before we go on, let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds that we may hear your word for us today. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Is it well with your soul? It's a question about our relationship with God. A question we might be asked by someone who is concerned for our spiritual health. So, is it well with your soul? It's a question that presupposes that the state of our soul is important. And maybe, since you're here listening to me, you do think it's at least a little bit important. You're here on a Sunday morning, a cold Sunday morning. So thank you for being here. Or if you're staying at home, I hope you're warm too. Now, if you're here a couple of months ago, you would have heard me speak about one of the 5 significant practices of fruitful congregations. And the first one was radical hospitality. And when people are invited and cared for and nurtured by those who genuinely care for them, when the hospitality goes beyond mere kindness to being radical and outrageous and infectious, then churches will attract people like moths to a light. And then I talked about extravagant generosity. It was to introduce us to thinking about our stewardship of money and time and resources, etc. And each week after that week, we had little notes in the newsletter, in the grapevine, about stewardship. And last week was Stewardship Sunday. And if you haven't returned your envelopes yet, then it's still not too late to do that. I returned mine this morning, John. On Mother's Day, I spoke about how that hospitality leads to people getting together for passionate worship. Not coming out of duty, not just to go through the motions, but with a passion that reflects a vital relationship with God. And 3 weeks ago, we heard about risk-taking mission and service, which led to us hearing the following week from Jonathan from the Bangalore City Mission. And he spoke about the impact that Bangalore City Mission is having on some people in that part of India as an example of risk-taking mission and service. But it brings us to the question, how do we ensure that it is well with our soul? And the answer is by intentional faith development. Because that's what Jesus did. He intentionally chose a dozen people and developed them as leaders. Many more than that 12, those 12 were actually impacted by him. But those 12 were the leaders he chose, and 11 of them grew the Christian church. And by the grace of God, intentional faith development will grow this congregation and make it even more fruitful. There's an aside that I want to add here, and that is that in the grapevine, there was in the insert, there was a bit about the market, about reconnecting with the community. So when you look at your grapevines at some stage, have another look at that and think about giving some feedback to Marge, Jackie and Neil about our participation in that. It's a really good thing for us to reconnect with the community. And that's what life's about. So how will we make us reconnect or grow in our faith with our intentional faith development? Well, it is well with our soul when our faith is growing and developing. So think about Jesus for a minute. Because his faith grew through vital practices like prayer and worship. And it's obvious that he was no stranger to the synagogue or temple. They didn't always like what he did there, especially when he healed people on the Sabbath or overturned the tables of the money changers. That was sort of against the rules. But for him, for people right around him, those things were gold because lives were transformed. Thousands of people listened to him and were fed. And as Matthew 7 says, Jesus taught as one who had authority. Jesus taught as one who had authority. In other words, he taught with passion and vitality and power. And he taught with powerful words and motivational actions. Right? Overturning the tables of the money changers was a very visible demonstration that you don't need those things. You do need passion, you need vitality, and you do need resources like money too. Jesus never lost a teachable moment. And even when Jesus was by himself, he taught his followers important stuff, like his regular practice of going away by himself to a solitary place for prayer. It enriched his life, reconnected him with his Father, with God, and it will do the same for us. And so learning from Jesus today is still an excellent way to get some intentional faith development. And we learn from Jesus by reading the Gospels, by praying, by putting his teaching into practice. You see, with intentional faith development, our behaviour changes. Interior spiritual renewal and growth changes outward behaviours as following Christ becomes a way of life. As the writer Robert Schnace says. He says, growing in Christ-likeness is the goal and end of the life of faith. By God's grace, we become new persons. Or as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old is passed away. See, everything has become new. Well, hospitality and worship and generosity and mission, even market or fair that the church holds, they're all good. But if we don't keep growing in our faith, then we'll be like the person who came home from their first day at school thinking that they knew everything. And of course, they don't. They had to go back again the next day and the next. The reality is that as we get older, the more we realise what we don't know. And it's the same with our faith. We've got a fantastic teacher in Jesus. And just reading the Gospels and applying them can teach us so much about life and hope and grace and love and forgiveness. So here's the thing. We learn best in community with others. You know, back when I went to school a long time ago, I remember a very rigid approach where we supposedly sat in rows, silently soaking up the teacher's wisdom. Supposedly. But if you go into school classrooms now, is it like that? We've got a conflict. One's saying yes, someone else is saying no. I reckon you'll find that very often in school classrooms today, there's a buzz and a noise of energy and conversation and collaborative learning is taking place. And that's what education's about. It's not just one person tipping it into the brain of another person or a whole heap of other persons. It's about learning together. And it's the same with our faith. We learn best with others by asking questions and getting support and growing together. Because that's the Jesus way. Did Jesus send his followers off on their own as lone rangers? No. As we read in Luke 10, he sent them out two by two for support and mutual encouragement and accountability. And they're able to learn from each other. And when one was feeling despondent, the other could give encouragement. And it's the same in the Christian church today. At our best, when we are at our most Christ-like, we are supportive and encouraging of one another. We have different gifts, and together everyone achieves more. A team. Like when we have a church market or a strawberry fair, where the whole team of people work together on this major fundraiser for the church. Or when the team of volunteers help with creative connections on Thursday mornings. Or outside in the community, when teams of volunteers help to clean up after bushfires and floods. Those sort of things. Jesus always goes with us. Jesus always goes with us. And as Matthew 28 tells us, when Jesus said, go, make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I have taught you, for I am with you always. As Robert Schnee said, Jesus taught in community so that we would learn to discover his presence in others. We discover that Jesus is within all of us. And sometimes we need to remember that a bit more than other times. The practice of learning in community gives disciples a network of support, encouragement, and direction as we seek to grow in Christ. The result is that as we mature in Christ, God cultivates in us the fruit of the Spirit. As listed in Galatians 5, they are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness or humility, and self-control. Fruit, singular. Not the fruit with an S on the end. The fruit of the Spirit is all of those things. But we only learn or discover this fruit of the Spirit from being in a network of relationships with other people. We might think that we have little to contribute, some of us. We might think that our faith is tiny. But if this is you, then listen to this. When Jesus said in Matthew 13, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Or a bit of yeast. It grows from a very small beginning. But then it grows and becomes something that's taller than that. And the kingdom of heaven is like yeast, the tiny organisms that you can't really see a single one easily. But you put a heap together, they spread throughout the whole batch of flour, they cause it all to rise. And it smells really nice, doesn't it? Provided you're not intolerant to it. The early church also did something that is very significant. And we could read about that in Acts 2 verse 42. where the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. In other words, they devoted themselves. Now, that means they were intentional and they were deliberate in this. They were learning from the apostles. They were together in fellowship. They were worshipping and praying together. They were an active community. They weren't like people at a drive-in theatre who watched the same film, but each carload's doing their own thing in isolation from others. No connection really between them. The early Christian community did things together. They learned together. They served together. They worshipped together. And it was said of the early Christians, see how they love one another. They were encouraged, as 2 Peter 3 says, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Encouraged to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And that's what we're to do too. As the Apostle Paul said, or told the Thessalonian church, encourage one another and build each other up. It's a very positive thing, isn't it? If we know that somebody stands alongside us, or hopefully not behind us, pushing us in the back, but alongside of us, arm around in an appropriate way, then we are encouraged. Pastor and author David Jeremiah once asked the question, are you a growing Christian or have you just stagnated? And as Dr. Jeremiah reflected on Peter's second letter, he reminded his audience that we all need to be tough-minded about our faith. He said, if you're not growing, then you're a perfect target for the enemy. And that's true. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, you must make every effort to support your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with endurance, and endurance with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love. For if these things are yours and are increasing among you, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful. So how do we do this today? How do we encourage one another and build each other up so that it is well with our soul? Well, let me give you some suggestions. The first is pretty obvious. Pray and read your Bible. Well, is that one or two things? These are personal devotional practices. They can be done at any time. You can even do them on your own, or you can do it with others. It's even better if you do it with others. But it helps to be intentional, though. And if we think, oh, I don't know what to pray or what to read in the Bible, we can start simply, perhaps by reading the Psalms, whether it's Psalm 23 or one of the other ones. Or you might read Mark's Gospel. You know, that's the shortest one. But the important thing is to start somewhere. And these days, when it comes to Bible reading, there's an app for that. The Bible app. Free. Get lots of versions of the Bible. Have it on your smartphone or computer. But here's the thing. What keeps us, or helps us keep going, and to not be discouraged, is getting together regularly with others. Every week if possible. And talking about what we've been reading and what God has been teaching us. And because being in a caring small group is incredibly powerful and empowering. There's a branch of the Christian growth movement called Natural Church Development. And that makes an important point about this and why it works. And it's this, that our Christian growth is ultimately the work of the Holy Spirit, not us. And so if we're faithful, if we're regular with our prayer and Bible reading, the Holy Spirit will teach us what we need to know. Or as it says in Matthew 18, verse 20, Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. Intentional faith development is just that. Intentional. You have to choose to do it. We have to be intentional about physical exercise if we want to get fit. We also have to be intentional about our spiritual lives. So have your daily devotions, read your Bible, regularly in context, repetitively. I don't want to frighten you. But if you read about 30 chapters a week, that's four or so a day, that's something to aim at. And if you do that, you'll end up reading the whole Bible in 1 year. Or you can do slightly less and spread it over a couple of years perhaps. But if you read the whole Bible, not just your favourite verses or chapters or books, then you discover all sorts of other things about God. The breadth of our faith is immense. It's said that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Heard that before? What will help us to be intentional and to stay committed is to be part of a supportive community. So what we can choose to do is get together for that Bible or study group. You can listen to or watch various things on, like Alpha or a series of studies on DVD, or these days it's on YouTube. You can attend retreats like the Walk to Emmaus, or just do something intentionally and develop your faith. If you're not in a group now, join one and start your own with two or three others. And perhaps be prepared from the outset to divide into two groups rather than becoming too big. Because it's no good having too big a group, because you don't actually get the support and the opportunity to speak yourself. By the way, how many of you are in a regular small group of some sort today? Could I see the hands? So it's useful to be part of that. It's very encouraging. As Robert Schnace reminds us, Bible study is not just about self-improvement, but about setting ourselves where God can shape us as we intentionally open ourselves to God's word and God's call. Because God uses faith-to-faith relationships to change us. I like that. God uses faith-to-faith relationships to change us. An intentional faith development means that we grow beyond what we might have learned in Sunday school years ago. We grow beyond the kindergarten level of faith. And that growth makes a difference in our lives and in the lives of our church family and in the lives of the community that the church family impacts outside of the church. In churches that intentionally strengthen their small group ministries, church leaders work toward the objective that every learning group has fellowship components and every fellowship ministry has elements and practices that lead to faith formation. Well, that's Robert Snaith. I think that every small group in a church, whether its main focus is learning, like a Bible study, or fellowship, something like Home Alone is that the men go to, or prayer, or property maintenance, even that, they should always include four things. There's some worship, there's some caring or fellowship, there's some faith formational stuff, and there's some missional activity. And you might not think that property maintenance is missional, but it actually does help other people. And the song Day by Day from the old musical Godspell, remember that one, some of you older ones? Yeah, that expresses the Christian disciple's desire to grow in the grace of God and to advance daily in the knowledge and love of God. And at the end, the cast sings this beautiful prayer that asks God for three things: to see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, and to follow thee more nearly day by day. Remember that song? If we're a fruitful congregation, we'll practice radical hospitality and invite others to consider placing their faith in Jesus too. If we're a fruitful congregation, then we can gather together and worship passionately as we praise God and build up the body of Christ in worship. If we're a fruitful congregation, those practices will lead to risk-taking mission and service. Remember, the church exists for the benefit of its non-members. That's why we exist. Not because it's nice for us, although it might be. It's for the benefit of those outside. And for that to happen, of course, if we're a fruitful congregation, we'll need to be extravagantly generous to support those other ministries. And if we're a fruitful congregation, we will intentionally develop our faith through gathering to study God's word, to pray, to apply the teaching of Jesus to our lives. In many ways, it's the why of why we do those other things. So I wonder, is it well with your soul? And are you still growing in your faith? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us the tools for developing our faith. We pray now that through the Holy Spirit, we may continue to grow in faith, so that not only are our lives transformed, but that we might continue to make a difference to the lives of others. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
I don't know whether we've done this before lately, but I would actually just like to affirm Ian for stepping up and being willing to do what he's doing for us and the ways that he is blessing our congregation. Thanks. Let's stand and sing.
And as you prepare to go out into the world, to reconnect with the community that is outside these walls, as well as with one another in here, may you always remember that by being intentional in growing your faith, we all grow. May the blessing and the peace of God, the Father, Son, and Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.
May the people's praise you, let the name.